Go Strategic is pleased to present the Worldview series. This lesson is entitled Presuppositional Worldview, Part 1 by Adam Peacock.
All right. Well, I am excited for us to be able to start this teaching on presuppositional worldview. And that's a mouthful right there. Those are two very big words. So I'd like to share a story as we get started that talks about how these words came to be meaningful to me in my life. I remember my transition from high school to college, and there was a lot going on for me in that time. I'd been raised in a Christian home. I'd been very influenced and encouraged in my faith. And during my high school years, I came to really own my faith in a very personal way. It wasn't just my parents' kind of beliefs, but my relationship with Jesus very much was vibrant, and I was wanting to learn about Jesus and wanting to learn more about the scripture and understand what it meant to be a Christian. I was excited for the opportunity to go to college, but I'll be honest that I had some fear and trepidation. And some of that fear was kind of based in the fact that I had heard a lot of stories about people who knew Jesus and loved Jesus and were Christians, and then they went away to college and they found that their faith was challenged, and suddenly they started to believe maybe a little differently than they had believed when they went to college, and then their lifestyle began to change. And in some cases, more than just being a little bit, you know, less fervent in their faith, they walked away from their faith altogether. And so I remember just wanting to know, Jesus, I want to stay close to you. I want to go to college. I want to have a good time. But as I engage and learn, I don't want this to come at the expense of my faith. And I feel like I'm in such a good place right now with you. I just don't want anything to mess that up. God was really faithful in that time to have people encourage me in prayer and to give me scriptures that would be meaningful. But I have to say, looking back, that one of the most important things that happened in my life was that I began to be equipped with biblical Christian worldview. I began to see the world more clearly through this lens or using this tool of worldview, and in particular, understanding what presuppositions are and how they impact the way that we think and the way that we live and the way that we relate and the way that we make sense of the world. And so for me, this whole element of looking at a presuppositional worldview is something that's not about comparative religion or philosophy or winning every argument or any of those sorts of things. It's really about how do we deepen our faith and how do we engage in this journey with God where we can see that the Christian faith applies to all of life, that it answers all the questions, big questions and small questions. And as those who are a follower of Jesus and those who are wanting to stay grounded in our faith and to grow, to know and love God more, how do we deal with maybe conversations or issues or questions that we've never been asked before, maybe that we've never even thought through before? And so worldview in general and presuppositional worldview in particular is designed to help us in just those moments. This whole series is not about telling us what to think. It's about teaching us how to think. And that journey of learning how to think biblically, how to, as some theologians say, think God's thoughts after him, relates a lot to what we're talking about with presuppositional worldview. And that's really a key part of our goal, that we would have a faith that addresses all of life and that we'd have a worldview that allows us to help change the world, to help be faithful witnesses of Jesus. And so that's where we're starting. And the goal of this particular lesson is to help you understand what presuppositions are and why they affect our beliefs and our worldview awareness. A few words about worldview are this. Our worldview talks about it's the way that we see the world and every aspect of it. It's the big questions that, you know, why is there anything rather than nothing at all? Is there a God? You know, all the big questions, and then all also the smaller questions. It's shaped by often our experiences. It's shaped by our culture. So what we're after here is we're after a faith that addresses all of life and a worldview that helps us to change the world. In the same way that I was sharing in my story about going to college, about owning my faith, my relationship with Jesus, as I began to engage with worldview, and as we begin to engage with worldview in this way, it gives us a chance not just to own the relationship, but begin to own our thoughts, own our perspective. And so the goal of today's lesson is to help us understand what presuppositions are and why they affect our beliefs and worldview awareness. And again, when we're talking about awareness here, we'll talk throughout these next few teachings about this worldview journey. All of us start influenced. Our worldview is influenced by our experiences. It's influenced by the family we grew up in. It's influenced by our culture, sometimes our socioeconomic standing, different things we've been exposed to. Our personality can impact our worldview. But those are often second-level influences. We're also influenced by those voices that have spoken powerfully into our heart. We're influenced by experts. We're influenced by those in positions of authority who have maybe told us what to think and how things work. And so we want to move from a place of just being influenced to being intentional. What I was describing that we've seen on the college campuses is there's times where someone will go into a new situation and they've been in a particular place where they've been influenced. Maybe they've never been confronted in their beliefs. And then someone comes with a compelling argument. Maybe they're a compelling person and they begin to poke holes or ask questions that a person's not able to answer because they really were in a place of just being influenced. And suddenly they begin to be taken in another direction. I like to describe it like in football, when a quarterback is trying to move a team down the field in one direction and they throw a pass and someone from the other team catches it and starts running it the other way. They get intercepted and start going in the exact opposite direction. This is actually what repentance is all about, that we're going in life in one direction and then God in his grace intersects us and we get intercepted out of a life of sin and death into a life of being reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so this journey, this worldview journey that we're inviting you to come on with us and where we're starting with presuppositional worldview is becoming more aware of the influences and understanding more aware of what is behind the things that we believe. And so I'd like to, as I talked about worldview now, just talk for a moment about this word presupposition. Pre, we probably recognize, means before, right? We have this as a description of all sorts of different things. And so pre is before. Supposition has to do with thinking. Many of us are probably familiar with the word, well, I suppose. We don't use the word suppose in a very strong way in regards to thinking. Often when someone says, I suppose something, it's not a very strong expression. But its root has to do with thinking. So presupposition speaks to the assumptions upon which all thought is based. There's an agenda often behind a presupposition. It's coming from a particular point of view. Now, we can be conscious of our presuppositions, but we're not always conscious of our presuppositions. Sometimes that awareness is a little bit more subconscious. Sometimes it's really unconscious. So, you know, if we get a cold call from someone trying to sell us something, we may not be really aware of the fact that we don't trust that person, but we have a sense of, hey, they're trying to sell me something. So I recognize they've got an agenda that may not be for my best. Or some of us can be very conscious of that. As soon as we see telemarketer, we know I don't want to talk at all to this person or in that situation. So these presuppositions, we can be aware of them or unaware of them. They can be clearly defined or a little bit undefined. So a presupposition, as we're looking at them, they're the subconscious assumptions that make up our worldview. So our worldview often, if someone begins to ask you a series of questions, you can answer, you know, yes, I believe that all people are created equal. Yes, I believe that God has a purpose for my life. Yes, I believe that we are designed and given a responsibility to care for and nurture and steward the earth. Those are all questions that you may be very clear upon. Yes, it's right to have good character and tell the truth, even if telling the truth may cost you something, right? But then there's also subconscious assumptions that we may not even really think about in regards to how we're addressing a particular issue. So these subconscious assumptions that I'm talking about that make up our worldviews, these are the most significant influences that all other things have on us. All worldviews are made up of basic assumptions that we call presuppositions. So a worldview is not just this set of ideas and philosophies and arguments. A worldview actually rests upon these before thinking decisions, these before thinking feelings. And it's really interesting as we begin to learn more about the human body, learn more about how our brain works, that even within our brain, many times they find that the activity in our brain that's first triggered when we're in a decision-making process is not the part of the brain that's most associated with rational thought. It's actually the part of the brain that's most associated with feeling or with emotion. And this is just another expression of the fact that the underlying assumptions that guide our life are actually at work far below and far more influentially than often the clear arguments that we might have or the rational arguments that we might have. So every worldview is made up of these basic assumptions, and all of these assumptions involve faith. They all involve faith. Everyone lives by faith. Everyone lives by these underlying assumptions. One of the elements of a presupposition, and we'll talk throughout this series about examples of presuppositions and some of the most fundamental or important ones, they're all faith decisions. So for example, one of the most important faith decisions anyone will make is the decision, do I believe that there is a God or not? That is a presuppositional decision. In all of human history, people can come to conclusions about that. We can have evidence for it or evidence against it. But in the way that we look at empirical science and in other ways that we look to kind of prove these things, this is still one of those heart choices that we make a decision about our belief in God in our heart. And it's from that place of the heart that that belief is going to be rooted either for God or against God. And of course, there's all these sub-decisions about that, right? Do I believe in a God who is active and present and involved in my life and in the world? Is this a God who is personal and relational? Is it more than one God? Are there many gods, or is there just one God? So these are all kind of other examples of these presuppositions about God. And so our life, the fundamental decisions of our life are actually all gone back to these presuppositions, these faith decisions that everyone lives by. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And it's such a powerful chapter. But it says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. And then it goes down into verse 6, and it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, we know that this is true as the author of Hebrews is talking about our relationship with God, that faith in God is the first step of relationship with God, and that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then he talks about this element that This journey of faith with God is a belief that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And this gives us some insight into the dynamic of how everyone lives by faith. They make an assumption about who or what is of ultimate value, and then they begin to seek and to go after whatever that God is or whatever that thing that they're putting their faith in, because they believe that there's some sort of a reward in that process. And so faith is not just a static assent to something. It's actually a relationship that involves seeking and developing. And we begin to build a worldview based around those faith choices. What are some of the things that we might put our faith in? And I want to give a list of examples, and these are not either or examples. They're part of the different voices, the different influences, the different authority that actually are a makeup of everyone's worldview. The issue is just where they're all placed. So an example of something that people put their faith in would be experts, right? For those of you who might remember a whole approach to advertising, they would get us to buy a product based on the experts. 4 of 5 dentists agree this particular toothpaste is right. So experts can be scientists, teachers, politicians, pastors, those who have achieved success in a particular field. So that would be an example. Experiences, right? What we've personally experienced, though it may be unique to us, those experiences begin to shape our view of the world. So someone has a bad experience on a roller coaster, and they say, roller coasters aren't for me. Reason, right? This element of being clear thinking, and science is another example that's closely related to reason, though not exactly the same. Tradition. Many families, cultures, groups are really strong in the role of tradition. We do it this way because it's been proven over time to work in this way. And finally, revelation, right? So the Bible, the way that God communicates to us the truth for all of life that he's given to us in his word, and understanding that he speaks to us in prayer, and that he can maybe confirm in the context of a church or a group of believers his heart or his desire. And so none of us usually are without a panel of experts, but the question is, what is the priority of those experts? Who are the strongest voices and who are the supporting voices? All of us have a panel of experts. All of us have a group of influences that help shape how we think about things and how we make decisions and where we land on what's true or not true. Some of us, you know, our intuition is a huge voice in our sense of what's right and wrong or what's true or not true. I would encourage you to consider, what are your panel of experts and how do they change maybe in relation to the types of issues that you're facing? What are your panel of experts in maybe one part of your life that might be different than another? Ultimately, the scripture tells us that the ultimate authority of all things is to be God for us, and that he has been faithful to let us know what his heart and will is, to lead us into this journey of truth through his scripture.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.